Welcome to That's a Freebie, everybody. As usual, I'm going to open the show with an Ask a Freebie question. This week's question is from Malachi again, and I have had confirmation it is Malachi, not Malachi. So thank you for that clarification. Malachi's question this week is, what is the name of your first pet, and what other pets did you have growing up? I think I see what you're trying to do, Malachi. This is a very bad phishing attempt. I don't, however, use my pets' names in any of my password questions, so I have no problem giving the answers to these out. My first ever pet was a dog called Sally, a little Yorkshire Terrier. She lasted a long time then. She was with us for a very long time. I was well into my late teenage years when she eventually passed away. She had a great life. She was awesome. I did, growing up as well, I also had rabbits. I had a rabbit called Snowy that was a white rabbit, and I had a black rabbit, and I actually can't remember the name of the black rabbit. They were outdoor rabbits, and I remember the black rabbit died. I don't actually know why. I just know that the black rabbit died. I believe it caught some sort of illness. And so I ended up with only a white rabbit. And eventually, really, really sadly, that rabbit died because she froze during the winter. I was very upset about that one. Which is why our rabbit now is an indoor rabbit. Even though she was originally an outdoor rabbit, I really didn't want her to be. I fought quite hard for her to be an indoor rabbit. And in the end, nature took care of that for us because of the incident with a fox. We also had growing up a dog. I can't remember what type of dog it was. All I remember is it was called Lister, and it was named after the character Lister from Red Dwarf. I remember that being the name of the dog, but it was a very, I don't want to say bad dog, because it wasn't a bad dog. It was a very untrained dog. The poor thing just couldn't stay out of the bins. It would, every time we'd leave the house, we'd come back and the bins had been absolutely ransacked. The dog was absolutely fine in terms of it was being fed properly and regular, so it wasn't hungry necessarily. It just wanted whatever was in the bin, and we could never work out what it was. We couldn't sort of stop that behavior. We couldn't work out a way of stopping that behavior. It just didn't happen. And I don't really remember what happened in the end. I just know that the dog went to a different family. It wasn't technically my dog. It was my stepdad's dog, but he did live with us at the time, so yeah, it's kind of a family pet, I suppose. Next, we had a cat. The cat was called Wowie because the cat belonged to my sister, my younger sister at the time. Well, she still is my younger sister. She's not got older than me. And that cat was called Wowie because it's the only way my sister could say the word cat. I think she was trying to say meow, but she was still learning to speak back then. She was very, very young. And she used to say Wowie every time she saw a cat. So we called the cat Wowie. And that cat, as far as I'm aware, is still alive. I could be wrong on that one. Last I heard, was living with my sister. But I haven't actually asked about Wowie in a long time. Maybe I should. We then had a dog that we inherited called Missy. That was our first, I suppose, family pet. That was before we had children. We were sort of temporarily looking after Missy, and we ended up with her kind of permanently. But we just couldn't devote the time to look after her. We both worked full-time jobs at the time. So we ended up, unfortunately, having to rehome her. She did, however, go to a really nice home. So that was great. And now, of course, we have Goldie, the leopard gecko, and Nightshade, the rabbit. So thank you for that question, Malachi. If you'd like to ask a question to open up the show, the best way to do that is to visit thatsafreebie.com and hit the button that says Ask a Freebie. It's actually a link at the top of the page. It's recently changed. The whole website has changed, actually. I've started using the website that's provided by my podcast host. The reason I've done that is it's just much easier to manage. There is also now a link on there to my brand new Patreon. I'll talk to you a little bit more about that later on. You could also use, of course, the hashtag AskAFreebie on any social media, and I will probably find that eventually. I do have a look from time to time. But for now, play that theme tune.
Sit back, relax, unless you're driving. It's time for That's a Freebie.
Malachi's question this week actually had me feeling all nostalgic because I was thinking about the past and like the pets I'd had and who was around at that time. And it got me thinking about when I was younger, school age, I suppose, like high school age, I guess, and how different life was back then. And I started thinking about my cousins. I used to have two cousins. Well, I actually had way more than two cousins, but there were two cousins that I was particularly close with. You could almost say that they were my, like my brother and sister really growing up, because I do have two sisters, but they were both born whilst I was in like the last years of high school. So there is quite a large age gap between us. So I didn't really have them growing up. So we didn't get to, I guess, play together really. Like my children get to, it wasn't quite the same. So my cousins were kind of substitutes for that. They were brother and sister. So they fought all the time, which, you know, is just like, brother and sister do, I suppose. Like mine do that now. They fight all of the time. We got into quite a few things. We'd go exploring. We used to really like exploring. We would travel as far away as we possibly could from home. We would walk everywhere. We covered so much mileage, and we would usually live at one another's houses during the summer holidays. We'd sort of spend half of it at my house and then half of it at their house. And during the years, we did a couple of things that like were sort of constants in our lives. One of the things we did is we made ourselves a little band. This was mostly based on the fact that my cousin played guitar and I owned a guitar. I will never claim that I played the guitar. Back then, I thought I did, but I was not good at all. I did a few lessons on it, but my guitar teacher at the time was... I don't even know how to describe him. He was a strange fellow. He didn't really, I suppose, understand what it was that I wanted to learn. Obviously, I wanted to learn essentially play guitar so I could play in a band, like as a backing guitarist in a band. The first day I got there, he sat there, and I've got this really like quite expensive electric guitar. I saved up all my Christmas money and my birthday money and everything to buy it because I wanted to be just like my cousin, basically. And I wanted lessons, but I couldn't go to the same teacher that my cousin had because he couldn't teach on the days that I could make it. And he was quite popular, this guy, because he was good. He taught my cousin. My cousin's a great guitarist. And so I didn't really get to go to the same teacher. Anyway, we managed to find one that fit our price range. When I walked in and I took my guitar out of its, package, I don't know, out of its case, that's the word I'm looking for. I always run out of words when I'm on the podcast, which is a bit silly really, because it's kind of the time when I need them. So I took my guitar out of the case and he went, "Oh, you've got an electric guitar. I've never seen one of those." And that was should have been my first red flag really. But no, I was like, "Yeah." And then I looked at his and he had an acoustic guitar, which is great. Yeah, I loved it. Part of me wishes I'd have bought an acoustic guitar actually, because it sounds beautiful. I love the sound of an acoustic guitar even today. But no, I didn't think anything of it. He said, "Can I have a feel of it?" So I handed him the guitar and he's lifted it and he's going, "Wow, it's heavy. I never realized it was so heavy." Have a feel of mine. And he handed me his guitar and I grabbed it by the neck and I went to lift it. And of course, because I was used to the weight of mine, I put some heft into it and I went, boom, and I hit his ceiling with the neck of the guitar. Put a little dent in his ceiling. That dent was always there from that moment. Every time I went, he was really great about it, to be fair. He laughed it off and he said, "Yeah, I should have warned you about just how much lighter it is." It was quite a low ceiling as well, so it wasn't like I was being ridiculous. So, yeah, I damaged the guitar teacher's ceiling within the first 2 minutes of meeting him. From there, he taught me to play Love Me Tender on the guitar. And I honestly, by the time I was done, so I must have done lessons with him for, I definitely didn't go over a year, but I did close to a year of lessons. And that is the only thing we played. So I mastered it after about 3 weeks of going. I could play it with my eyes closed, forward, backwards, sideways. I don't even know how you play music sideways, but I could do that. And like I couldn't have been able to play this any better. But every week we would play it together and he would sing. And I think that's all he ever did. That's all he ever wanted to do. He just wanted to sing Love Me Tender and play the guitar to it with his students. I asked him to teach me some chords and he said, yeah, I think we'll do some chords next week. And then surely enough, the week after would come and I'd be like, so are we going to learn some chords this week? And he'd say, well, let's just do a couple of renditions of Love Me Tender first to make sure you've got it down. And I was like, oh, anyway, in the end, I didn't go back. I missed one. And then sure enough, it was just easier then to miss the rest, just like anything. Once you miss one, it's easier to miss the rest, isn't it? So anyway, that wasn't even a story that was on my rundown for this week. And the reason I was telling you that was just to tell you how, essentially, I tried. I tried to be good at playing the guitar, but it just didn't happen. I tried to teach myself after that. I kind of lost faith in the ability of teachers, which I wish I didn't. I really wish I'd have carried it on, but I didn't. Never mind. So we formed this band is where I started. And I could play little bits of it. Like my cousin taught me a few chords and we only made two songs. Both original songs, by the way. I can't remember them now. I can remember little bits of them and there's no way I am singing them for you. But we all sang in the band. So we all took, well, we didn't take turns. We all sang different bits of the songs. A bit like a boy band kind of thing. But then my cousin would play the guitar. I would play a little bit of guitar. And my other cousin would do most of the singing, really. And one day, we were having a practice, and we were at my grandparents' house. Now, my grandparents had this massive organ in their back room, and we'd always play on it when we were there. We're all quite pretty much into music, into playing music. So we were playing the organ. So one day, we decided to write a track for the organ to go along with it. Because we'd been using a little Casio keyboard up until that point. So we decided it would be worth having a go at playing the same track on the organ and expanding it a bit. And we did. And we got it down. We actually came up with a pretty good tune for it. And then we decided to have a practice run through. So we started and we had a bit of a sing. Well, I say we had a bit of a sing. We did the entire song. And it wasn't till afterwards we'd not kind of thought about it, but everybody could hear us. So as we finished the song and it petered off, everyone in the living room, which was all of our parents, basically, all started cheering and clapping. We were very embarrassed. It must have took us a good 10, 20 minutes before we could actually leave the room and face everybody. Another thing we did. Now, we actually did this way before the band. This was kind of a running thing throughout our entire childhood, really. And almost you could think a little bit prophetic, given that I'm now recording a podcast. But we used to record a radio station and we would call it DKC Radio based on the initials in our names. And we would literally record an entire radio show. It would last like 2 or 3 hours sometimes. We'd play the songs and everything. And it all started when, oh, I think it started. I can't remember exactly how it started, but one of us got a recording device. Now, I remember getting a karaoke machine one year for Christmas, which had a microphone and was able to record. And I remember one of the cousins had another tape player thing that had a built-in microphone on it. So somewhere along the lines, one of them we started recording. It might have been because we had both of them and we realized we could do it at one another's houses. So we'd come on and we'd be like, hello and welcome to DKC Radio. And we'd put on like a radio voice. And I would always do this stupid thing where I'd trying to think what I would say. Like, say I was, say the, I'm introducing the radio set. I go, hello, welcome to DKC Radio. Ha ha. And I don't know why I used to do it. It was horrible. It was ridiculous now I think about it. And I do actually remember. My cousins must have hated it. Because one day, one of them said, why do you always do that? It's stupid. You know, when we'd kind of had enough of each other. And I was like, it's not stupid. It's something that radio presenters do. And of course they don't. But oh, God, I used to do it after everything. It was the dumbest thing. But yeah, we would record these radio stations and we'd do proper segments and we'd have phone-ins and things like that. So we'd always, one of us would have to pretend to be the host and the other one would have to pretend to be the guest phoning in. Sometimes all three of us would be there. Sometimes only two of us would be there or one would nip out the room and come back in. And I always remember there was one where one of my cousins, he was being the guest to phone in. But we hadn't really prepped him on it. So he didn't actually know what he was supposed to be saying because we would always practice the lines while the song was playing. And then we'd start talking again after it because we'd just press record on the tape. And then we had another tape player that we would play the songs on and then we'd just talk into it. So we did it as one long continuous recording with no pauses or anything in between, which was quite impressive for three little kids, really. And then one day we're doing this call in and I can't even remember what it was. All I remember is he's putting on this voice of he's supposed to be an old woman answering a question. So he's I asked him the question, like, I don't know, like, what's 2 add 2? And he's going, well, I don't know. I'm not too sure. And we're trying to egg him on. And me and my other cousin are looking at him going, come on, answer the question. Because to us, it was a really simple question. It was like some sort of trivia question. And it was a dead easy question, but he'd not got it in his head. And all of a sudden, he remembered it. And he went, oh, I know now. And it just stuck. Every time I'd see him, I'd go, oh, I know now. And he could never live it down. It was also, come to think of it, all the funny moments come from the mental stuff that he did. When Freddie Mercury passed away, we did a tribute episode of the show. So basically, we just recorded a load of Queen songs, and in between, we'd go, no, this is Freddie Mercury with one of the greats, Fat Bottom Girls. And then we played the song, and it was supposed to be like a tribute show because we'd all, obviously, Freddie Mercury just passed away. We'd, because of that, been listening to a lot of Queen songs because our parents were listening to them and reminiscing and all that. So we'd really gotten into Queen. So we decided we wanted to do a tribute show. And we always used to have this running joke, like I'm sure everybody does. The Queen song, I Want to Break Free, you would say, I Want to Break Wind, right? I don't think that was just us. I'm sure everybody did that. But we said to him, it was his turn to it was his turn to introduce the song. So he said, right, whatever you do, do not say, I want to break wind. This is serious. This is a serious show this time. And he goes, all right. So what we do, we only had a few seconds between the first song and the next song, and I want to break free. Because I nearly said wind then. I want to break free because we were just playing the tape. We were just playing Queen's Greatest Hits 2. So we had seconds between it. So I unmuted the microphone and pointed at him and went, go. And he went, I want to break wind. And we're just, all you can hear on the recording is me and my other cousin going, no, we told you not to say that. And muting the microphone. So, as I mentioned at the start of the show, I do now have a new website. So, if you go to thatsafreebie.com, you can take a look at it on there. I didn't do any of the designing of this. This just literally is provided to me by the host of the podcast. And on there, I've added a couple of links. So one of them is the Ask a Freebie link, and it just goes to a Google form now. So you don't, there's no filling in the website. You just fill in a form on Google, and you can keep it anonymous. You can say whether you want your comments read out over the air or not, because you know, if you want to send me feedback that isn't a question, you can do. You just click the button that says no, and I'll not talk about it on the show, unless I'm talking about the results of it, I suppose. But I won't mention you as a person, I guess. And obviously, it's completely anonymous. You can put your name in or you can leave your name blank. It doesn't really matter, whatever you prefer to do. But I've also added, due to popular request, actually, a Patreon page. So I was originally thinking of using just a Patreon page as my website, but it would have meant so much more work adding the podcast to it every week and things like that. And then the only way Patreon supports it directly is if it's a private podcast, which means only people that pay for the Patreon will be able to see it, which obviously I don't want that. The show is free and will remain free. It's only any extras that I'd be essentially charging for. And there are no extras at the moment. There's nothing that I'm doing. There's two tiers available on Patreon. One of them is a free tier, so you can just join and you can see everything that's available to everybody. And there is a paid tier of £2 per month. Now, at the moment, there is nothing there as a, you know, like you get these extras for the paid tier, because I really haven't thought about it. All I've done is I've added that on there in place of the leave a tip thing that used to be there. Because, well, I just think it'll be better in the long run. I'll be able to add more tiers and things like that. So that brings me to the real question of what would you actually like to see? I know there's lots of things that people do with podcasts as extras, but if I were to introduce paid tiers that give you extras, like what kind of things would you like? Like one of the things I was thinking of doing is uploading a bootleg version of the show, which basically that means that you'll get a copy of the raw recording of the show. No edits, no music, all of the times I mess up, all of the time in between where I'm trying to decide what I want to say next, all of that kind of stuff. It'll just all be there in this recording, and you can listen to it if you want to. I would advise against it, really, because most of it is just me sat writing stuff down, and I always have. I'll show you. I have a little, those on the video can see it, I have a little notepad at the side of me whenever I'm recording, and I jot down when I've fluffed up, or I jot down timestamps and things I want to go back to in editing just to try and make things quicker. So you'll see a lot of that. And you might from time to time see me get really frustrated because I can't say something. And I may say a bad word or two. Me, never. But that's just one of the things I was thinking. I'm not really sure what's viable, what people would want, so that's why I thought I'd put it out there. Use the form on the website if you've got any suggestions of things that you think would be good to add to a Patreon tier that you'd like to see. Obviously, if it's not something you'd do, if you'd like to see yourself, then there's no point in suggesting it, because I won't do it. Go to thatsafreebie.com and just fill out the form, let me know what you think. Now, the other thing that's just worth mentioning this week is that I've had a bit of a problem with my YouTube channel. The problem is so bad, in fact, that it's gone. This is going to sound really stupid, but I accidentally deleted it. Basically, in setting up the form for the Ask a Freebie question, I discovered that I used to, and I completely forgot, I had my Google account set up as a Google Workspace account, which basically is where you pay them and you add your domain name to it. So that's a freebie domain name, logs me into it. I set it up once ages ago, and I actually didn't keep it because I found better ways of doing the things I wanted to do with it. I just let it expire and never carried on paying for it. I cancelled it. Now, in order to get access to the forms and everything, I had to delete my Google account. I messaged them to say, is there a way that you could just convert it to a non-Workspace account? And they said, no, you have to delete the account and set up another account. What I didn't consider as I was doing it is that that same account was linked to the That's a Freebie YouTube account. So I just deleted the account, and it was almost as I pressed the delete button, it clicked in my head that this was going to affect YouTube. And anyway, I went, and sure enough, it did. So it's currently gone off YouTube on the previous address and everything. So if you've come here looking for it because you've subscribed to it in the YouTube Music app, because I know there are a couple of you that listen in the YouTube Music app, I'm really sorry. You'll have to go back and resubscribe to it again. by the time this episode is released, it should all be resolved. I have created a new YouTube account. And the username on the account now is That's a Freebie Podcast, because it wouldn't let me have That's a Freebie. Although that said, I have started using That's a Freebie Podcast in quite a few places, because I did notice when I was looking at like search results for it and things like that, people were finding it that were looking for stuff to do with bees and honey and whatnot, which kind of makes sense, right? But then obviously it's not the people are not finding a podcast when they're searching for podcasts. So I've added the word podcast into quite a few of them anyway. So you'll have to resubscribe. If you want to find it, all the links are on the thatsafreebie.com website. So there is a link to the new YouTube on there as well. You just head to the bottom of the page, I think it is, if memory serves me right. There's links on there to all my social media. And I will restart uploading the video versions of the podcast as well. Probably from either this one or last week's. Just depends how quickly it gets solved. So yes, thank you for your patience on that one. Quite annoying, but there's just nothing I could do about it. It was too late by the time I'd realised. Before I move on, it's time to answer that very specific question that I ask every week, or I have for the last 3 weeks anyway. Did I go to the gym? The answer this week, unfortunately, is no. Not technically. I have been to the gym since I last recorded, but I haven't yet been this week. The reason being is I've not actually been well. My wife's been poorly, I've been poorly, the kids have been poorly. So I just haven't really felt up to it, to going out. So I am going to. I've not lost the motivation. I can already tell that I will go. My plan is to maybe go in the evening because I just think it'd be a little bit easier this week with it being the holidays and all. Even though I didn't go, I thought I'd better tell you the truth and keep holding myself accountable on that one. I thought to myself this week, because I was feeling all nostalgic with the pets and everything, I thought actually it might be worth having a look for what Goo talking about. Actually, just while we're on that subject, so what Goo talking about? I was informed this week that one of my listeners doesn't understand what it means. So I thought I'd better explain it, because I'm not too sure if I did explain it very well. So what Goo talking about is a pun on the word you and the word Google. So it's what Goo, that's G-O-O, talking about. And the idea is anything that's not related to me directly. So the first part, and I think I have mentioned this before, but it's worth just going over it again, because I don't think I was very clear. The first part of the podcast is all the stuff related to me for the week, and I suppose the podcast. And the second part is the what you're talking about part is all based around stories that I found on the web or just about anywhere else, really. So it's what are you talking about, but generally stuff that I can Google. For example, this week I Googled funny pet stories and I found quite a few across the web, and I've just collated them into a few just to share with you. Purely because, like I said, I was feeling a bit nostalgic and with the pets, and I thought, actually, there's some pretty funny stories out there. It's like, for example, this first one, this is actually one related to me. So my friend used to have a dog called Jess. Or more accurately, actually, she was called Jessica. We used to call this dog Jessica. And it was strange going down the street shouting, Jessica, Jessica. But we did, because it's what you do, right? And one day she brought the dog to my house. I was still living at my parents at the time. My mum's. I was living with my mum and my stepdad and my two sisters at the time. And we had the cat, Wowie. And this is what reminded me of this. And then this is what prompted the whole search. So Wowie was chilling out in the kitchen. Now, Wowie, for whatever reason, used to like lying across the kitchen worktop. And every time we'd walk in, we'd be like, get down off there. Because, you know, you don't let your cat lie on the kitchen worktop, I hope. So we walked in and she walked in and she had this dog. And of course, the dog immediately saw the cat and went rawr, 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 and just dived at the cat. The cat freaked out like they do, like really freaked out. Surprised the cat didn't have a heart attack the way she freaked out. So I went to grab the cat to calm her down and to move her. And she latched onto my arm and she dug her nails in. And I basically ended up stood in the middle of the kitchen, waving my arm up and down with a cat attached to it. And it looked like something out of like a Simpsons cartoon from Itchy and Scratchy. And it really, really hurt. Drew blood and everything. And at the time, it was absolutely hilarious afterwards because, of course, that this cat, I was swinging it around and I was like banging it on the kitchen worktop trying to get the cat to let go. And eventually, she took the dog out, the cat let go and ran off. And I was just covered in blood. I know that sounds pretty horrific, but it was really funny at the time. And then that's what made me think, oh, maybe there's been some other humorous stories with animals. So I had a look. This first one, I can't really give any attribution to because the Reddit user's account was deleted. So the story was still there, but the account had been previously wiped in some way, shape, or form. So they said, whoever it was, let's call them Doug. Why not? When I was younger, we had a chihuahua that weighed 4 pounds soaking wet. One day, the family was sitting in the living room watching a movie. We had this couch with recliners on the ends where you just touched a button and the recliner would fling open. Sister flung open the recliner. The dog just happened to be walking past it and the dog went flying across the room like a cannonball. It was something out of a cartoon, but I'll never forget. Yeah. That does sound pretty funny, actually. This one is from someone whose username I cannot repeat. Some of your Reddit users have some pretty sick, and I don't mean like sick as in good, I mean sick as in disgusting usernames. I wrote this one down and I'm not saying it. It was absolutely gross. My dog's cousin was taken to the emergency vet with serious stomach problems. They at first thought it might be life-threatening twisted intestinal / stomach problems. Until the dog proceeded to get up and walk over to the corner and poo out a pair of my cousin's knickers. Oh, yep, that'd do it. And this final story could be a bit of a lesson to us all. This is from someone named Tilly Ellison, 1977, on Reddit. I took my 8-year-old King Charles Cavalier to the beach on one lovely sunny day. She was very sick with parvo, so I wanted to let her explore and play like a puppy should. She also has great recall, so we let her off the leash. Big mistake. She found a dead jellyfish and ate the entire thing. Oh. Luckily, there was a vet on the beach, but she threw up 17 times and had swollen gums. She's fine now, though. Well, I mean, first of all, luckily there was a vet on the beach. What an amazing beach that just happened to be a vet. I suppose there's people from all professions at the beach. Did strike me as a bit odd, that one, though. So, yeah, anyway, there you have it. Don't eat a jellyfish. No matter how deliciously wibbly-wobbly it looks, don't eat a jellyfish. I really enjoyed this question of the week this week, and it was, again, generated by Claude3 because, like I said previously, just want to mix it up a little bit, see how it sounds. And the question is, if you could have any celebrity read you a bedtime story, who would you choose and why? Well, I've got two answers to this. And one of them, actually maybe both of them, but one of them I can remember, I've already had read me a bedtime story. I'll explain. So my first one is David Tennant, because who wouldn't want Doctor Who reading them a bedtime story? And the second one is James McAvoy. Now, the reason I chose James McAvoy is because there is a show on CBeebies where celebrities read bedtime stories. I actually can't remember what the show is called right now. It might even just be called Bedtime Stories. I honestly can't remember. But over the years, I've seen a lot of them. And I always remember the James McAvoy one was a really good story. But also dead soothing as well. We used to listen to it with the kids at night, like when they were really young, and that it was like bedtime. It used to come on at like 7 o'clock, and it was basically bedtime for the kids. And we'd all lie there sometimes and fall asleep to the bedtime story. And I remember the James McAvoy one was probably the biggest celebrity they had at the time. So we used to play that one a lot, and it's just really stuck with me that James McAvoy is really good at reading bedtime stories. But at the same time, I would absolutely let David Tennant read me a bedtime story. Somehow that sounded creepy. Didn't mean to. I decided to go with nostalgia for the gripe of the week this week as well. This is something that actually just came up a few weeks ago. We were talking about it with a group of friends, and I decided it would make a pretty decent gripe of the week one day. And so with the nostalgia of the show today, I decided this week could be a good idea. So do you remember the old TV show that we would watch as children? And I will put a link to this in the description, because some of you may not have heard of it because it is quite an old show. It was called Nightmare. And it was basically like a role-playing game. And there would be, if I remember correctly, I think there was four contestants, one of which would be the player and the other three would be like the parsers telling the player what to do. Now, the player would stand, essentially, I'm assuming that they were in a room that was full of green screens or somewhere, because they obviously weren't in the real locations they were in. But they would wear a helmet over their head. And what they would do is the other players would, the helmet was on the head, but it also covered their eyes so that they couldn't see. The other players or the parsers would describe to them the surroundings and tell them what to do and help them interact with the environment. So it's almost like playing a computer game, except you do it with your voice and the person is a real person. So they would say, like, you know, take three steps forward, take a step to the left, take a step to the right, reach out with your hand and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But every now and then, you'd get a group on there that, like, it'd almost be like they'd never seen the show before. Now, I understand it's probably harder when you're there than it is sit at home watching it. But they would say to them sometimes, take a step to your left, and they'd just take a massive leap to the right. Like, not a step, a leap to the right, the opposite direction, and jump off a bridge or something like that. And it used to frustrate the hell out of me because they were very, very obvious mistakes. Now, obviously, being older now, I realise the pressure of it all probably made it much harder to do than it looked. But, like, just breathe, take a second, think about it, and then perform the action you've been asked to do. But no, they never did that. You never seem to get anybody on it that that thought about it. Now, obviously, in hindsight, I realised that was probably the idea, because if everybody knew what they were doing, it would be very entertaining, because the most entertaining part of it was watching the players do the most ridiculous things. I just want to take a minute to say thank you to this week's sponsor. This week's sponsor is you, the listener. So thank you for listening. As I mentioned before, I now do have a Patreon, so please do take a look at that. You don't have to join it. I would love it if you did join it. Even just join the free tier, it tells me how many people are interested then. And the free tier will always have interaction. I will never make it so that you have to pay to get some sort of interaction. Like, for example, I have, starting next week, a new section joining the show as part of What's Good Talking About. This section is going to be about learning some new stuff, hopefully in a funny way. And it will be something where the listener has the ability to choose where we go for the next part of it. And it will be every five episodes that I'm going to be doing this section. I will explain more next week. I am purposely being a bit cryptic to keep you listening. But yeah, just one of the things I'm planning is giving you the opportunity to choose the next. Can't really say it without saying what it is, so you'll have to wait till next week. But yeah, do head over to the Patreon, have a look, and thank you for listening. It really does mean a lot to me. This week's pick of the week is an application that I could not live without. It's Things 3 by Cultured Code. I realise everybody probably has some sort of to-do list or some sort of thing in place as a supposed to-do list. But I've used Things 3 since the day it was released. I actually used the previous version of it, Things 2. And Things, now that I think about it, I've used them for years. And they are quite possibly the best to-do applications that exist. Now, I have a very, very bad memory. I have to write everything down, or I have to make some sort of note of everything. But one thing I'm not good at is using a calendar to remember things. So if I stick something in the calendar, I have to remember to go and look at the calendar. Or what will happen is on the day, if I set a, you know, like, tell me about this event on the day, I'll get the event and I'll go, ah, I could have done with knowing that 3 days ago. So what I will have to do there is panic at the last minute. But no, with things free, that doesn't happen, because what I do is I set myself a reminder for it a few days before when I think I'll need to see it. And then I'll set myself another reminder once that one's gone off on the day. Or I'll set a reminder saying, remember to look at your calendar today because you've got this on, or whatever I do. But I use it for all kinds of things. So I use it to make shopping lists. I use it to make lists on stuff that need to be done in the house. I use it to quickly get ideas out of my head and then put them in the right place afterwards, because it has a neat little inbox feature. So you can just jot something down into it quickly, or you can use a voice assistant to just tell it all your thoughts and it will pop them into the inbox. And then later on, you can go and you can put them into whatever application is needed, or you can action them, whatever it is you need to do. I also use it to make gift lists as well. So when I'm walking around the shops and I'm with my wife and she looks at something and she mentions that she likes it, or she lingers on something a little bit longer, I'll jot it down. Or I'll do the same with the kids, because the kids ask for so many things throughout the course of the year. And obviously it comes to Christmas and we go, I don't know what to get them this year. So what I do is I write everything down that I see. I write where I saw it and what it was and how much it was. The only thing you can't do, and I really wish you could, and I know they've had this feedback, so they've always said it's something they're looking at, but it's just never come to fruition, is I wish you could add photographs to your to-dos. That would make it perfect if you could do that. That's the only thing you can't do. But it works great for everything else. I even use it as like a read it later type service. What I'll do is say I'm on, I don't know, a news website and I want to come back and see something later. I've tried all the read it later applications out there, but they all require you to remember to go and check them, which obviously that doesn't happen. Or they'll notify you at some point of the day saying, oh, don't forget to check your reading list. And I'm like, well, right now, I can't check my reading list, so it's pretty useless. So what I do is, if there's something I want to read, I'll think to myself, when will I actually want to read it? When will I get time to read it? And I set myself a reminder to go back to it. And you can link to the thing in there as well. So yeah, Things 3, really, really useful application. It will be in the show notes for you to check out. A listener sent me this article the other day and said that it might be a good story to end the show on. And I agree, actually. It's a really interesting read. So it says basically a man with a stammer has recently been jailed. But the judge says it is unlikely to complete his sentence.